Let's begin. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, we come now to your word. We ask that you will speak to us, Lord. Hide me in the shadow of the cross, and may that which comes forth be only what you desire. Father, our hearts are open. Our ears are listening. We ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken, enable us to hear, receive, understand, and obey your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles if you haven't already. And there is in the bulletin an outline that will go along with the message, if you find that helpful. We're looking at Acts chapter 2, continuing on in our series in Acts chapter 2. We began last week this message, and was not able to finish all of it. And it's interesting how sermons grow. Kind of like a fungus, huh? Just kind of grow and grow and grow. Can't get rid of it. But I do want to finish the things that the Lord had put on my heart last week and expanded on them as well as I looked at them this week. And there's always so much depth to mine in God's Word. So we're looking at verses 42 through 47. And last week we started this message, what are we devoted to? What are we devoted to? And this is part two. And so again, ask the question for us as individuals and as a church body, what are we devoted to? What is it that we are devoted to in our lives? Just a quick side note, if you didn't have opportunity to be with us at the baptism last week, last Sunday afternoon, it was just phenomenal. Just a wonderful time. We baptized 10 people, three that came after the service and one at the baptism that declared they wanted to be baptized. And so we rejoiced together at that. And then I got to let the truth be told, the answer to prayer, since Augustine is not with us today to share it. We've been praying for over 2 years for Augustine to receive his green card, his permanent resident status. And they came over to the house on a Thursday evening to share with me that they had received it. And he has his green card status. And so we rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Those of you who have had any dealings with INS and any of that process know that it's a bit of a nightmare. So we rejoice at what God has been doing for Augustine and his family. Amen. So as we continue in this message, the main point that I brought to us last week is really the same main point. It is this. Is our discipleship with Jesus translating into devotion to God's Word, the body, community, and worship? Is our discipleship translating into these things? As it was with these first believers here in the early church in Acts, their repentance from sin and unbelief, putting their faith in Christ, translated into devotion to these things, devotion to God's Word, devotion to the body, devotion to community and devotion to worship, including prayer. And so must ours. Our discipleship must translate over into these things, or frankly, our discipleship is defective. And if we want to see God doing in our midst, through this body, whether it is the interaction between us or our outreach beyond us, if we want to see God doing these things that we see here, I'm telling you, I believe the key is the devotion that they had for the Lord, His Word, the body, and the community and the life of the church. Let's review just for a minute. Last week we looked at this first point, that our repentance is confirmed by our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our repentance from sin and unbelief is confirmed by our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we looked at that last week more specifically because of the day, that devotion is publicly demonstrated by what? Somebody said it. Baptism. One brave soul. Baptism. Baptism is your public demonstration that you are a Christian. Your public display, your public declaration that I am a Christian and I'm following Jesus Christ. We will, hopefully we will have another baptism at the end of the summer, and I trust that there will be others who will want to follow the Lord in believer baptism, and we'll have that. And so again, our repentance here translates over into belief and embracement in Jesus Christ. As I said last week, it is not devotion to and embracement of a religious system. It's interesting, I had a conversation, I mentioned this fellow last week in the dollar store, and you know, having a conversation with him about the things of God, and he mentioned, you know, that he had been brought up in the Catholic Church, and he said, well, you know, I can't pray to God, I have to go to the priest. And almost everything we discussed, he had the answer, and he himself said, you know, this had been indoctrinated into him as a boy age 6 and on. And he said, you know, this is my problem, my issue. I have to go to the system. And I was so encouraged to tell him, no, you don't. Because it's not about a system. It's not about a religion. It's not about what a church, whatever the name of it, adds to God in trying to help him. Then we call it a religion. Isn't it interesting that man, in his foolishness, always tries to help God? You ever think about that? We always try to help God out. You know, we try to build these sort of these fences around God so that we don't offend Him, and then we do these rituals so that we can get close to Him. Doesn't make any sense to me. And usually, whenever man tries to help God, he usually messes it up pretty good. He usually ends up making it very complicated, very difficult. The ones that make these kinds of systems and things up, they don't even know what it is. And before you know it, you're just so confused that everyone else around you is confused, and people almost give up. They feel like there's no point. How can we ever overcome this system? And God's not like that. He's made it simple. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, that we might know Him, embrace Him, and be devoted to Him. And so that was point number one. It's not a system, but it's the person. And we see their devotion, as we looked at last time, verse 36, they repented and they turned to the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is now Lord and King. God has raised this Jesus to life, and has made Him both Christ and Lord. We are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me ask again as we start this message, have you embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you embraced Him in your life? And I'm not going to go into all that I went to last week. I could easily slip into that rabbit trail, but I won't. But we talked about the need for repentance. Repentance is not just saying, well, I believe. No, repentance is turning away from unbelief and turning in faith to Christ, trusting Him, trusting only in Him and not trusting in myself, my own goodness, my own deserving or merits, but trusting in Christ alone. It's turning away from any system and turning to the person of Jesus Christ. I was so encouraged that at the end of my conversation with this gentleman, I said to him, I want to encourage you and challenge you to personally put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because I had asked him if he had done that, and he had to answer, no, I've not. What a shame to have gone to church all of your life and yet have never put your faith personally in Jesus Christ. I know that sometimes churches can be guilty of not preaching the simple gospel and making it simply understood and known. But also, folks, you've got to recognize there is something in the human heart that wants to hold on to our pride, wants to hold on to, you know, our merit, that somehow we are worthy in and of ourselves of God's grace. We are not. God has said over and over again in His Word that the soul that sins, it shall die. I will not leave the guilty go unpunished. I, the Lord, do not change. I am just and holy, and sin will be punished. And so it requires a repentance on our part to turn in faith to Jesus Christ. Have you turned in faith personally to Jesus Christ and put your faith in Him? And believer, if you've already done that in your life, are you devoted to Him? Does your life speak of your devotion to Him? That which you do, that which you invest your time, your effort, your energy, your focus in, does it speak of your devotion to Christ? We'll talk some more about it. As we look then at the next points and portions of the verses, we need to move from our individual thinking, as we talked about that last week, we move from our individual application of the gospel to us to the corporate mindset. We move away from the individual application and thinking and move into a corporate mindset because we begin then to talk about the body. Number two then, our discipleship must translate into corporate devotion to these things: His Word, His body, and His worship. Our discipleship with Jesus must turn into corporate devotion to His Word, His body, and His worship. We see these things in verses 42 through 47. When I became a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm no longer concerned only with myself, nor am I committed to Christ only by myself. No, in fact, there's very, very few people that will come to Christ only by themselves. Somehow or another, they have interacted with another believer in some way, somehow, to come to Christ. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe they come to church and they've heard the message. Maybe they have a friend who has shared the gospel message with them. Maybe they've listened to someone on TV. Maybe they've gone to a Billy Graham crusade. Maybe they've heard a teacher or preacher on the radio. Maybe they've gotten hold of a Bible. Well, guess what? That Bible came from somebody. Somebody had to place it there. The Gideons, who some of you are involved with, place Bibles everywhere so that people can have the Word of God. Somehow, you interacted with somebody when you came to Christ. So there is an individual application in terms of coming to know Christ, but it happened in the context of the body, somehow, some way. And the Lord wants our discipleship to translate over into corporate devotion, corporate mindset, corporate understanding. Now I'm no longer concerned only with myself, but I'm concerned for my brother and my sister in Christ. I'm concerned for them. And I'm committed to Christ along with them. What I mean by that is this: you affect me, and I affect you. You affect your brother and your sister, and they affect you. You know, I know we don't like to hear that, but your walk and your accountability affects every one of us. And that's why the Scripture talks about the body and its impact and its scope. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. It's a familiar passage, and Charlie Busey is going to read that for us.
The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
As it is in the human body, so it is in the body of Christ. Paul uses the human body as an analogy. He says, you know, our bodies are made up of not just one part, but many parts. And he says, so it is with Christ. The body of Christ is made up of every part. And the interesting point he makes in this passage is this. Even if you were to say, well, I'm not a part of the body, it doesn't mean that you cease to be a part of the body. Even those that might say, you know, I don't like Pastor Tom's preaching, I'm going to go over to another church here where there's a better preacher and he doesn't preach till noon, whatever it might be. You know, that doesn't mean that you are no longer a part of the body. You just have moved from one local congregation to another. And we still embrace everyone in other bodies of Christ that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. We embrace them as members of the larger body, members of us, of one another. That's why we have to be very careful that we don't become critical of other churches. Well, you know, in that church they do such and such. Well, that's okay. That's all right. God has made local congregations to be different. Different strokes for different folks. Right? We say that. Well, that comes from the Bible. There are different kinds of ministries, people, gifts, individuals that form one body. And that's okay. That's the way God has made it. Unity within diversity. And so I've got to be in this corporate thinking, in this corporate mindset that you affect me and I affect you. We are so terribly individualistic that we don't think that. You know, I've had people that, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm just not coming to church anymore. And it's kind of like this illustration. There was a man who stopped coming to church. You know, I don't know why he stopped. He got aggravated over something or somebody said something and offended him, stepped on his spiritual toes. Might have been the preacher, like me. Anyways, he stopped coming. And a couple of weeks went by and the pastor called him up. Said, I'd like to come over and visit. And the man said, okay. And so the pastor came over and the man was sitting in his living room by the fireplace with a nice fire going. And so the pastor walked in and he went over and he sat down next to the man. And he didn't say a word. And he sat there for a moment and he went over to the fireplace and he took some tongs and he went in and took one of the coals from the fire and he took that coal out from the fire and he brought it out onto the hearth away from the rest of the burning coals. And then he sat down. And they sat there for a moment and as that coal was separated from the rest of the coals, the fire on that coal slowly began to go out and that brightness of the coal began to grow dim and it wasn't long before that fire and that coal was out. And so the pastor then got up, shook the man's hand and left. The man called him a few minutes later and he said, Pastor, I got your message. You affect me and I affect you in the body. And the way that we interact and are devoted to one another is going to affect our discipleship in Jesus Christ. None of us were meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I don't need the church. It's just too much aggravation. Well, welcome to the club. You know, just because you come to a church you might be new, don't think that we don't understand there's a potential for aggravation on your part too. Every one of us has an aggravation index. Right? Well, we can bug each other at times. But being in the body of Christ, that means we learn how to love one another. Let's press on. What were the early believers dedicated to and devoted to? What was the particular items and things that they were devoted to? Number one, as we read in verse 42, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now again, remember, we said last week, first and foremost, they are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it says they are devoted to the apostles' teaching. What is that? It means God's Word, especially the Gospel, especially the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes, the life, death, and Lordship of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, notice with me that word. They devoted themselves to. That's an action word, isn't it? It means that they weren't passive. It means that they didn't roll out of bed, 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the appointed time and roll over onto the temple and, half sleep through what the apostles were teaching. No. They were ready. They were prepared. They were devoted to it. They were giving it their attention. What I'm trying to make the point is that this doesn't come natural to us. In fact, I think sometimes, I'm just as guilty. I can remember in church growing up, you got to the sermon and you thought it was, 30 minutes of free time or 30 minutes of snooze time. And I don't think I'd ever fallen asleep during a sermon, maybe once or twice. I've fallen asleep standing up in the shower once, so, I'm sure I could have done it at a sermon too. I can seem to be able to fall asleep very easily. But, you have to work at it. You have to be devoted to the Word, to the Apostles' teaching, just like they were. It says they were devoted to the Apostles' teaching. How does that play out? Well, they went to the temple courts, verse 46, every day. They had church every day. Maybe we should start that. Church every day. Of course, none of us get our work done. Now, you got to remember, the community that they lived in was a little different than ours. And so, folks, when sometimes I hear, I just don't have time to go to church. Whew! When we compare ourselves to the early believers, man, we are lacking. I just can't put in 2 hours on Sunday morning. I just can't do it. I don't have the time. Well, we have the time. It's what we choose to do with it. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the life, death, and lordship, resurrection and lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what the apostles are teaching. Notice with me from chapter 2, verses 14, all the way through 41, what is Peter preaching? He is really recounting the history of Israel, God's people, and then the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, and God's exalting Him to Lord and Christ. And he ends with that grand symphony in verse 36. Exalted to the right hand of God, Christ has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has now poured out what you see and hear. And what he's saying is, out of God's plans and purposes, the Comforter has come, the gift of the Father has come, the gift of forgiveness and eternal life has come. God's purposes have been fulfilled in the life, death, resurrection, in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, this is what they devoted themselves to. We have only this sermon here in Acts, early. And that's what it is. It's a sermon. Peter's first sermon, and what a great one. And we ought to be studying that. And in fact, in the days ahead, when I return from vacation, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going back over to earlier in chapter 2 and focusing on these blocks of preaching that Peter has, so that we too can be devoted to the very earliest of the apostles' preaching. So these believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to God's Word, especially the Gospel. Are we devoted to that? Are we devoted to the apostles' teaching, meaning God's Word, and especially focusing on and trying to understand and learn more and more of the gospel of Christ? Now, included in this is evangelism. We're trying to learn more and more about how do we effectively share the gospel with others who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not have the hope of eternal life, who do not have His forgiveness. That's part of the reason that we're having the Way of the Master class. And if you've not been a part of that, I invite you to be a part. It's a great class. I have learned some tremendous things in this class. Let me share one of them as a testimony real quick. We did Way of the Master, I guess it was about a year or so, maybe even a little more ago. And, I thought it was good. But, I didn't get it. I got to be honest with you. I didn't get it. And this time around, now it makes sense to me. And it's so simple, it's like, geez, Don, how did you miss that? But unless you get people to understand that they have broken God's law, that they are sinners, then they're not going to be interested in hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Unless you tell them the bad news, they're not going to be interested in the good news. Because most people think they're pretty good people. I'm a pretty good person. We watched this morning where they interviewed a bunch of people who just got done saying, well, yeah, I've broken God's command, I've sinned, I've stolen, I've lied, in my heart I've been an adulterer, in my heart I've been a murderer, I've blasphemed God's name, but I'm a pretty good person. And most of us think that. And that's why you have to give them first the bad news, and that is God's law, that we've broken it. And we deserve judgment, we deserve separation from God. And so individually, as believers, and then as a body, are we devoting ourselves to God's Word? Secondly, they devoted themselves to the fellowship, verse 42 again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and then to the fellowship. Now notice it does not say they devoted themselves to fellowship. No, in other words, they weren't just coffee clutching. They didn't have just, a 5-minute greeting time and call that fellowship. That's a part of it, but that's a very small part of it. No, rather, they devote themselves to the fellowship. That is, they were devoted to the oneness of the body that had been given to them by Christ's Spirit. It's the organic unity given by Christ's Spirit. Now, what it really adds up to is that they were devoted to each other. They were devoted to each other. As members of the body of Christ, one another, they were devoted to each other. They recognized that the same Spirit that had raised Christ from the dead, that was now in them individually, was in others as well. And so they recognized that by the Spirit they had been made one in the body, and so now they're devoted to each other. And in verses 44 through 45, we see that they met each other's needs in a radical way. Let's look at that. Verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 45. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They were so devoted to each other that they would sell possessions and even land so that they could meet each other's needs. Imagine that. I mean, that's radical. That's how devoted they were to each other. Are we devoted to each other? Are we that kind of devoted that kind of way to each other, where when we become aware of a need, that we do all we can, everything we can? Would we sell possessions? Would we sell land? Would we sell things, our stuff? Would we actually sell that to help a brother or sister in Christ who is in need? Would we do that? I believe the time is coming. God's going to put us to the test about that. I do. I believe the time's coming when God is going to test our devotion to one another. You see, we want church. Oh yes, I want an exciting, dynamic church. But are we willing to count the cost? Are we willing to do those things which God requires so that we can have a dynamic church? You see, often the church is focused on the gimmicks, What plan, what program can we come up with, you know, to reach people for Christ? I'm telling you, I've wasted more seminars. I've wasted more hours going through those kinds of plans and programs. I'm done with those things. I got to be honest with you. I'm done with those things. I've gone to a lot of them. And I won't waste my money anymore. Because what God has done over here in one person's ministry doesn't necessarily mean He's going to do it over here. But rather, if we'll be devoted to the things that God has called us to be devoted to, He'll do the work. As we devote ourselves, God added to their number daily. We don't have to try and figure out evangelism. We don't have to try and figure out church growth. God will do the growing if we're faithful to the things He's called us to. And so they were so devoted to each other, they went to the extent of selling possessions and land. We know in chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are following along with others who have done the same thing. They sell some land and they come and they bring the money and put it at the apostles' feet and say, look, use this to meet needs in the body. Can you imagine? It just blows me away. This blows me away. Would we sell anything of our possessions to help a brother or sister in Christ? Would I? Would I do that? I hope we have that kind of devotion for one another. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You see, it's a mutual, reciprocal relationship. And I believe, to a great extent, we have lost that in the church today. We don't understand how we affect one another. They devoted themselves to one another. Are we? Are we devoted to one another? I'm talking about with the kind of devotion translated from our discipleship. Are we devoted to one another? The fellowship. The body. Some of you have expressed that in very beautiful ways. And I want to commend you for that. Some of you have made meals for those that are in need. Some of you have given generously to those that are in need, who lack jobs, who have crisis needs come up. Some of you have, indeed, have sold things. And you've come and you've brought a portion to give to those that are in need. Some of you have done outstanding things like that. And I want to commend you for it. Today, as Brother Bob Bradshaw comes home from the hospital, some of you have already agreed to make meals for them. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful display of our devotion to one another. And I believe God is pleased. How devoted are we compared to these early believers? We want that dynamic in the church, don't we? We want to see the signs and the wonders, don't we? We want to see God working, but are we willing to count the cost? The third thing that they were devoted to. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Again, verse 42, to the breaking of bread. What does that mean? Well, we see an example of it in the second part of verse 46, 46b. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They broke bread in their homes. You see, they were committed to communion in the context of the common meal or the body life. They were committed to the life of the people of Jesus. They were committed to sharing life together. They broke bread and ate together in their homes. They were sharing together in each other's homes. We have started, over the past year, we started some care groups. And some of them have gone well and some of them haven't gone so well. But we're going to restart some. We're going to start some new ones again as we enter the fall. And we want to encourage you to be a part of those. Let us know if you're interested in being a part. It's the best way to get to sharing in the life of believers all around you. You see, it's one thing to come to a Sunday school class or a Bible study. That's good, and we need to do that. Be devoted to God's Word. But it's another thing to share life together. Because you see, when you start rubbing elbows with people, man, sometimes you kind of rub each other wrong. You know, and you have to deal with it. And we have to deal with each other's idiosyncrasies, and we have to sometimes, as the Scripture says, exhort one another, correct one another. I don't know about you, but I long for that. I desire that in my life. You know, you might think, oh, Pastor Tom, you know, he's got it all together. You know, he doesn't need anybody or anyone to say, oh, yes, I do. Absolutely. I need you. You need me. We need one another. You see, and I think it's our refusal to move into that that keeps us from growing. It is. We've got these separators around us. And we're only going to show everybody so much. We're not going to take everything, you know, off, all the facade. We're just, boy, because if you saw the way I really am, I don't know if you'd like me. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. I'm preaching to myself here too. You know? Oh, Pastor, if you really knew what kind of person... Listen, if you really knew what kind of person I am, you think I don't daily struggle with sin and temptation? I'm just like you. I'm no different. And that's the thing, that we can do this together. We can do life together in Jesus. You know, I'm so encouraged at the men's fellowship that has been growing over the past months, and the women's fellowship that has grown over these past months. But I'm telling you, God is calling us to deeper fellowship, deeper devotion to one another. The breaking of bread, that is such a picture of intimacy in the body of Christ, where we're worshiping God together in the context of life together. You see, in the early church, they didn't have a communion service similar to what we do. No, they had communion and they celebrated it in their homes around the common meal. You see, because they didn't have a church building. They couldn't have church like we have it today. No, they met in small groups, 15, 20, 25, maybe 30 people in some larger homes. There is archaeological records of some larger homes, but most of them were no larger than about 30 people. And in these homes, these house churches, people broke bread together and worshiped the Lord and shared life together in Jesus. They devoted themselves to this. The community of the body. Are we devoted to this? You see, it's the old saying, you're only going to get out of church, if you want to call it that, what you put into it. I mean, that's biblical. You know, you reap what you sow. Whatever a man sows, that which he reaps. Whatever you invest in, that's what you will return. And so they were devoted to the community and to the breaking of bread. And then lastly, they're devoted to prayer. They're devoted to the corporate worship and intercession. We see this in verse 46, the first part, 46a. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Well, what do you think that they were doing? Not only were they listening to the apostles' teaching, but they were praying together. They were worshiping the Lord. And they were interceding for one another. A beautiful illustration of this is over in chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. We're not going to take time to do that. I encourage you to read it on your own. But it's after Peter and John have been in prison and they're let out. And the believers gather in a home and they begin to pray for Peter. And they're praying so fervently and they're praying so hard when there's a knock at the door. And Peter's there. He's been let out of jail. And the servant girl can't believe it. Here they've been praying for it, and the servant girl that opens the door, she can't believe it. She runs, closes the door, leaves Peter standing out there, runs over to the other group of believers to tell them, hey, guess what? Peter's back. And they're like, well, where is he? Oh, I forgot him outside. They were praying fervently for Peter and John to be released, and they were. And you should read the prayer. They say, Father God, stretch out your hand to cause signs and wonders that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted. It's a beautiful time of prayer and intercession. I encourage you to read it. And so they were devoted to corporate worship and intercession. Prayer. Are we devoted to that? I'm not talking about just alone. I'm talking about in times of prayer, whether it's in the context of a small group, whether it's in Sunday school class, whether it's here in the service. Do we look at the time of prayer as, well, you know, boy, that's just a little fill-in for the service? No. It's a time of intercession that we're crying out to God for these servants of God, for those that are in need. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not merely events. That's an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude that we're to have throughout the church body, throughout the life of the church, throughout the people of God. They devoted themselves to prayer, corporate worship, and intercession. Are we devoted to that? Again, as they devoted themselves to these things, the Lord moved. The Lord moved. Verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Why? I believe the right ingredients for the church were there. They were devoted to one another. They were sharing life together. They were committed to one another to the point of meeting needs. And God was doing a miraculous thing. Oh, Pastor, why don't we have more miracles in our church? Why don't we have more healings? Why don't we have more answers to prayer? You know, I don't have all the answers to that. But one thing I know is we're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on asking. But are we doing our part? Are we coming to an event? Or are we sharing life together in Jesus? And then the last thing that we see the Lord doing, verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Can you imagine? I mean, we rejoice together when Sundays we give an invitation and people come to Christ. And I'm encouraged to say that that is a regular thing here in this body. But could we not see more? Could we not see God do more as we're committed and devoted to the body of Christ here? When people come in and they see such devotion, such love for one another, which is a hallmark of the church of God, and they're stirred in their heart to say, there's something different about this people. There's something different about this church. I believe that's a missing ingredient in so many of our churches. Are we devoted the way the Lord wants us to be devoted? You see, we want to be devoted on our terms. You know, God, I'm going to be devoted, but only so far. And I'm telling you, God is no respecter of persons, and He's no respecter of you and me, and He says to us, you're going to be devoted on my terms if you want me to be Lord of the church. We want to see God do wonderful things in our midst. We want to see Him move. We want to see people saved. Are we doing our part? Are we devoted to one another? Oh, Pastor, I just don't have time. And I'm not sure if I have the energy for that. I'm not asking for you to do more. Please don't think. Please don't hear that. I'm not asking for you. Heaven knows that some of you do too much already. Some of you need to stop doing some of the things you're doing. There's others you need to step up and do some more. I'm not saying that you need to do more. Please don't hear that. What I am saying is we need to open our hearts to each other and in whatever we're doing, be the body of Christ. Not necessarily do. Does that make sense? We have to be. Letting God mold us and make us into what He wants us to be together. And it takes preference and it takes priority. You see, if I don't give it priority, if I do not devote myself, it won't happen. I have to give it my priority. I bless you people. You've made it a priority to be here today. You've made it a priority, most of you very regularly are here to worship the Lord together. And I believe God wants to do even greater things in our midst. Because the body is a beautiful thing. The body of Christ that God has put together is a beautiful thing. We're going to close with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Mark Turbett will read that for us.
Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit.
Hold that verse for me, Jim. When he says, in him, you too, I think immediately we think individually. Oh, he's talking about me. No, it's plural. And in him, you too, you Corinthians, God is building you into a temple in which he lives by his Spirit. And so you can substitute our name in there. You too, believers in Kent Island at Iron Alliance Church, you too are being built into a temple together in which God lives by His Spirit. God wants to do awesome things. Are we hindering Him by our devotion, by our lack of devotion? I want to call us this morning to devote ourselves to these things which are really the essentials the Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to be devoted to. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'll take these words and, Lord, burn them into our hearts. Lord, we do want to be a church that is on fire with a love for Jesus and a love for one another, Lord. Lord, show us step by step as individuals and as a church body those areas in which we are lacking. And Lord, may each of us individually make a commitment that we are going to be devoted. We're going to devote ourselves, Lord. We're going to be active. We're not going to be passive. We want to be a part of what you are doing in the earth today. Lord, would you give us, by your Holy Spirit, a new anointing, a new commitment, a new heart of devotion. I ask it in Jesus' precious in holy name. Amen. And amen. Before we close the service this morning, I want to invite any of you who need prayer, or if you have a question you want to talk about what does it mean to know Jesus Christ, we'd love to talk with you. Those of you who would like to have prayer for any need, if you'd like to be anointed with oil and prayed for by the elders, then we invite you to come on up after the service is closed so that we can do that. Don't leave if you have a prayer need and without us praying and agreeing together for you. Let's stand as we receive the benediction together. Father, I pray the blessing that Paul prayed over the Corinthians, that the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with this church. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Take time to greet each other before you go.